Accession number 9489, reel 1.
Tom Phillips, tape 1. Tom, could I ask you something about your life before the war? Whereabouts were you born and brought up?
Where was I born? 5 miles outside Carmarthen town. Abernant, near Conwy, Albert. You heard of those places? Blanacoid, the great preacher Albert Lewis used to go to school in Blanacoid with my mother. Only 2 days a week. Self-taught. He won the National Stutterboard Prize 3 times. Albert used to preach in London. Do you go up to London very often?
Could you tell me something about your childhood?
Yes.
Tom, what sort of family did you come from?
Wait a minute now then. My father was the finest farmer throughout the county. Butter making, short on cattle, and we used to ride on them. We were so fond of them. Riding on the back with Jonathan and myself, scratch their backs, and they used to come and meet us. We used to give them names, Rachel, Sarah, Jemima, Katu, lot of Welsh names. They used to know their names. And he was a wonderful, very kind man.
How about your education?
What?
How about your education?
I went to Abernant little school. We had to walk 2 miles across fields down into the valley, into Abernant. They had only the blacksmith, a pub, and a few cottages. We never came home. We had sandwiches too far to come back for lunch. And we were a mixed school, only 40. And I didn't know a word of English when I went there first. We went there about when I was 5, I think, down. And my brother was 4, not quite 4, and Jim, he was a year older. He was coming to be in charge of the farm when the war broke out.
How about your job? Did you go on to the farm, Tom, when
yes,
you left school?
Yes, I was helping on the farm. I charged of the poultry when I was 5 years of age. I used to feed them before going to school. And then come back home from school, gather the eggs. And I used to look after the chicks, the chicks being born. Oh, marvellous to hear them noise inside the shell, you know. Oh, the old birds were all over me. I used to sit when I was about 5 years of age in the spring and summer when the farmland was clean, and some of the old tame hens would come and sit on my lap. And they're quiet as anything, quiet. What's wondering now happening? At last, they'd lay an egg in my lap, fresh egg. Oh, it was a scream to see them. They're so tame, you know. And white leghorns, big white cockerel.
Do you have any knowledge when you were a child, Tom? Of the
no,
war.
I learnt it. We learnt it as we went on.
Yeah, I was wondering if you had any knowledge of war, you know, if you'd heard of the Boer War or any other war. And
yes, my first cousin, Dr. Howell Davies, was the head. He's older than me. His mother was my father's sister, and my father married twice. First wife, my wife came to nurse. She was a bit delicate, and my father, he was about 30 years older than her, took a fancy to her. She was marvellous, helping with the house and helping with the milk. Dr. Howell Davies went out. He passed through St. Thomas Hospital in London, passed everything. Very, very clever man. And he was the head of all the ambulances in the Boer War. And he settled down there and married a Scotch girl. And he was the first man, he became president of all the doctors in South Africa. And he was the start of he was extra clever on heart, you know.
Did you hear anything about that? I wonder if you heard anything about the war, the Boer War, which sort of gave you images of
yes,
war.
Yes, that was nothing. But it was, I used to hear a good deal about it. Howell Davis used to come home after the war. He settled down there. I think he was the one that presented the hospital in Pretoria. He was, he started about the heart.
Had you any idea in 1914 that perhaps a world war was going to come?
Yes, I had an inclination, because in Lampeter, all the Germans, you got a big sale those days, Della's sale of horses, lasting a week in the streets then, and the Germans used to come over and buy nearly all the Cardiganshire cobs, wonderful horses. They must have been preparing for this war then. In about May, I think the sale is still on, I think, for a week. And we thought something funny then, because the Germans at the time, they declared themselves as the super race, didn't they? They were the super, above everybody else, the super race. We were only muck, the chosen race.
And it's interesting you saying they came and bought the horses. Was this quite obvious that the Germans were buying up horses?
Yes, they took nearly all the horses back. Well, we were wondering, every year they used to come and buy. But that 1914, we couldn't get over it at all. How they cleared the whole horses back to Germany?
Where would they have taken them back from?
To Germany. I suppose they were thinking about a war then.
Yes, how would they have got them home?
Yes.
How would they have shipped them across? Which port would they
use? They used to ships come and take them over, you know, cargo boats. Then it was all by boat.
Can you remember the day when war was declared?
What
were you doing, Tom?
I was in the bank. I was only been in the bank. I went to the bank start in 1913. 1914, and the war broke out, and we had to take our turns to join up. You couldn't go against the bank's wishes, or else you'd lose your job. So what I did was, I was a very fit person, and very fit. I used to walk 20-30 miles with the tramps. I'm a big pal of the tramps on the roads, you know. Who was a great pal with the tramps? And I was a very, very fit fellow. And I went into training at the Lampeter Drill Hall. There was a retired sergeant there. And we didn't have rifles, but sticks, brush sticks, you know. All these sticks instead of rifles. And I went past very high there. I was ready. Very fit when I joined the South Wales Borderers. Then,
how old were you when you joined the South Wales Borderers?
I was just about coming to 18. 1918.
And what year would that have been, Tom?
Well,
what year would that have been when you joined?
The year I joined, 1915. It was November 1915, I think it was.
Were you keen to get to the war?
Yes. And went to Brecon. It was the smartest regiment in the whole of Britain then. We had a wonderful Sergeant Major Brentner. And the other fellow civilians that joined, they were not fit at all. I was put at number one in the battalion on Sniggery Camp near Liverpool. Huge camp from Brecon up there.
Well, what did your family think?
Yes?
What did your family think when you volunteered, didn't you?
Yes.
What did your family think about that? Your family?
Well, at the time, my father was dead. He died. I'll give you a sad history about him.
But you tell me later.
And she was a widow, my mother.
What did your mother think about you going to
war?
Oh,
she was all right. She didn't say a word. We got to do it. And my brother was wrong in going. He was just coming of age to take over the farm. But he was a great rider, horse rider. And he joined the Pembrokeshire Yeomanry. He shouldn't have done it, really, because we were short staffed at home. We had one woman sleeping in and a man... The man looking at the horses and manuring the land, Tom Jones. And we had also brought in, being my brother went, a fellow from the, Dr. Bernardo's home. And what a scream. He couldn't speak a word of English. My mother couldn't speak a word of Welsh. And we were learning Welsh, English now in school. And the English master and his wife from Pembrokeshire came to teach us. We were teaching them Welsh, and they were teaching us English. Very poor English down Pembrokeshire, the English quarters.
Could you now tell me then, Tom, where you mentioned Liverpool. Were you immediately sent up to Liverpool for training?
A training, yes, outside Singerley Camp near Waterloo. Oh, I grew up there with Sergeant Major Bruntner. I was fitter than all the other recruits because they had no training. And he was calling them, oh, well, I never seen such a smart man in all my life. Calling them, you might break your mother's heart, but you'll never break mine. Some of you look like lumps of blancmange. And he said, don't look on the ground. They swept the parade ground 6 o'clock before he was out of bed. No, he won't find any threepenny bits. He could spot anything. So Arnie was on and everything. And that week, I was declared the smartest recruit in the whole battalion. I was number one.
Did you, by this time, have your uniform?
Yes, the uniform. We were fitted in Brecon. And the major quartermaster looked at you. Well, Private Tom Phillips, we can never improve on your back. We can't do it, he said. You're perfect, he said. I had a lovely figure then. Wonderful.
How did you adapt to army life then,
Oh,
Tom?
I got used to it. Everything. I looked on the bright side of things. I used to make them all laughter.
How about your accommodation? What sort of sleeping arrangements
we were in
was there?
Big huts. And we had to clean on those ourselves. I tell you about the Sergeant Major bed. And he was bragging that, what's Private T.H. Phillips? Look at him. That's an example for number one. I was to be join the NCOs in front to give them timing. And that week, he was shouting. I was in great form with him, but the week after, he started shouting on parade and some funny remarks. Oh, he's telling them off. And I laughed out on parade. Sergeant Lewis, take Privy to the order room for laughing out on parade. And I, next morning, the officer trained me and said, well, I said, the Sergeant Major Battalion, this officer was laughing at us. He said, we can knock you into any shape we like, except put you in the family way. That did it. And the officer laughed like hell at it, but I had weeks to do, clean the huts, latrines, everything. For a week, it didn't matter to me at all. So that was all right.
Could you tell me something about your training there, Tom?
Yes.
What sort of training did you
cleaning?
Do? No, training.
Yes.
Could you tell me about the training?
Training?
Yes.
Yes. The training, first we had to do fixed bayonets parade, bayonet practice, and first of all, we had to learn how to march, you see. And he taught me how to march, all right. Do you don't use your elbow when marching, do you?
No.
Marching. Throw your arm from your shoulder. Don't bend your knee, elbow. That's only used for lifting a pint of beer. Never half fist. Throw it out if you're knocking somebody. If you saw somebody bending his elbow, oh, there's hell to play. And so forth. And I passed out first class in all the infantry and firing on the range. Then the last thing was to charge with fixed bayonets. You see, the NCOs, oh, they could curse all right in English. And we had to make a charge, run the bayonet fixed to with a target, a man, you know, stretched out, made of straw, very on stands, you know. Well, the other fellows, oh, damn, they were not half fit. They had only civilians, you see. I was civilian, but they hadn't had any training at all. They hadn't been there, like, in a drill hole or anything. So I was always in front of them about 30 or 40 yards. And at last, the old Sergeant Joel shouted, "Oh, hell," he said, "some of you are too weak to pierce the skin of a bloody rice pudding." That did it. I was within 20 or 32, charging to the old bayonet, the things we had to charge into. Well, I laughed like hell, and I was too weak to pierce the skin of a rice pudding. And so the other fellows were much behind. I was much ahead of them. They were wanted a lot of training.
When did you first hear about the machine gun corps?
Wait a minute now then. So after going through that training, Sergeant Major, Battalion Sergeant Major, one day on parade shouted, "I want 20 volunteers to join the suicide club." Oh, well, I've had enough of this old bashing and training. I want to go forward somewhere. And I was the first to volunteer, and some of my pals, one from Cardigan, Clay the auctioneer, and another from Towing, Trevor Jones, all of the 20 of my best pals joined me. And then we were sent to Grantham, Lincolnshire, where the big machine gun corps was formed. We were some of the first lot there. And there we were trained as a machine gunner then. And I passed out first there, and I learnt the Morse code as well. And I thought I was training for an exam in the bank. And I was the first one to be sent out to Boulogne.
Could you tell me more about your machine gun?
Yes, the Vickers.
Yes. Am I right in thinking this was quite newly formed?
Yes.
Was it quite a new thing, the machine gun corps?
Oh, yes. We were short, you see. They were short of machine guns. It was a very big camp. Oh, thousands and thousands. And I was one of the first. My pals and passed high enough to go out. I thought I was trying for an exam in the bank. And I was...
What gun was it you were trained on, Tom?
Vickers. 600 bullets a minute. With a... press the trigger. And so...
What sort of targets did you fire at when you were
practicing? Oh, they had targets all over the place there. To fire in the camp. Huge place. And I was rushed out before I was... Well, I didn't know quite enough about the gun, but I didn't mind. going out. That was the first out.
You were saying you did signalling as well as machine gunning.
Yes, machine.
Is that right?
I could read Morse code as fast as I could write, but it was not much good. We did a bit of with a little buzzer in the trenches, but Jerry could pick up all the signals. They dropped it altogether. So I was sent out on a boat on my own from the camp to Boulogne. Oh, and the little kiddies there welcoming us and band taking us up the hill to sleep a night there. And this little kid's 4 and 5 years of age singing to us, "Après la guerre finie, all glass at Anglo-Soltan party, mademoiselle in the family way, après la guerre finie." These little kids singing. So I was sent out only a day there to Dieppe. I seemed to be very funny, sent down there by cattle trucks or something, or lorries. A huge company, the headquarters of the machine gun company there, the quarters. From there you had to go up the line.
What division were you going to join?
Well, I didn't know what division. So I was sent up the line in cattle trucks to, you know, Bethune. They had to go as far as the train would go. I didn't know what I was going to join. I had to march with all my rigmarole and rifle and all my pack drill, about 50 pounds or more. Or to walk about 3 miles from the Dieppe station that's nearest to the line.
What date would that have been, Tom?
That was in April 1916, I think. April or May 1916. So I went there, and what I had to join was the Blinking 8th Division from Hong Kong, regulars, Northumberlands or something. Oh, they were all right, but I couldn't make myself quite at home. And in my report, I say about chasing the rats. Did you read it?
Yes. I was wondering, you were saying you were sent off to France on your own. Were you the only machine gunner sent up? Were you the only machine gunner sent up to that division then?
Yes, I was the only single one to join the machine gunners of the regular Hong Kong 8th Division.
And they had their own machine gunners.
Oh, they had. They got those. I didn't. There were five or six of them to carry a machine gun. One carrying the barrel, the other the tripod, and the other a big case of bullets in belts, you know, fitting the machine. So I joined them. I was the only Welshman with them, and we were only 250 yards from the German line there.
Yes. Now, what position would you have been in when you first... Your first position, what would that have been, Tom? Whereabouts in France was it?
Where?
When you joined the 8th Division and first went into the line?
That was... I tell you what it was. Levante, Fessenburg, Halach, Neuve-Chapelle. We jiggered them up at Neuve-Chapelle, and here we are again. We used to sing that there. And what was I going to tell you? Jerry had 4 machine guns to every one we had defending the front line. We could hear his guns, machine guns, the heavier machine guns. Ours was a tut. So I was in the front line with these fellows, and the trouble was, we were so near, he could use
mini werfers.
No, mini... We had those terrible things. Mini
mini woofers, were they?
Yeah, yes. The mini, the ordinary one, which had the area who could fire 600 yards. But these mini woofers, oh, they were terrible. They used to come over so quickly and go down such depths. Used to knock the machine gun post to hell in the front line. And there we were. And what I did when I was used to chasing rats in the farm, you see. I used to enjoy going after rats to start. They were after all food, and down the in the second line we had dugouts, two entrances in case one was blown in, we could come out through the other. We were blocked a few times like that. So have you got that report about the Levante? We were. Now then, when I was, I had the divine spirit, that's a true fact, followed me everywhere. Because I tell you why, you will have the history of the family afterwards. I was never without like a savior guiding me, telling me what to do. And the fellows couldn't understand how Tom Phillips couldn't be killed, wounded, or captured. But I knew all right. I didn't tell them about religion because I never saw a clergyman or anybody near me at all in the front line. We're in all the time. That we are so short of machine guns.
Yes, could you tell me now? Yes. You were telling me about your action in the sort of Festubert Hulloch area. What was the action like in early 1916? What was happening? You know,
what
from
was
the
happening there was, I got to thank the South Wales Company miners. I only knew they were there because we had a walk out about 2 or 3 miles to Nostam. I met these Welsh miners company. Oh, they were great lads. What they were doing, they was undermining from our front line or behind right to the German front line and blowing the front line up sky high. Then they were fighting for the craters. Lights, Vera lights, Spira lights, everything. What a place. And the Welsh miners used to beat the Germans in trying to blow our front line.